Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves. Subject to negotiation.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Colourful Conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark. This week, we ask the big question. Who's winning the Brexit debate? Well, it appears that households in the United Kingdom could be left up to £1,000 a year worse off because of Brexit trade barriers, according to global consultancy Oliver Wyman. Now, it appears as though, due to things such as import tariffs, high regulatory barriers, it could cost the overall economy a staggering £27 billion. Sizable sums.
Yeah.
But as we get closer to March 2019, when the United Kingdom is due to leave the EU, well, who's really winning the debate? What is that deal? What does it really look like? Are we getting any closer? It seems like a shambles. Well, yes. With me today is Clergyman Pete. Mm. Now, I know, Clergyman Pete, this is a big topic for you, close to your heart, but I must say it does seem as though Theresa May and the EU don't seem to be getting on. In fact, Theresa May doesn't seem to be getting on with anyone, including her cabinet.
Yes.
So my big question to you then is that are we really going to have a decent deal at the end of all of this?
shenanigans, yes.
And will Britain come out of it better off?
Well, businessman Mark, you and I, you know, from the business world in your case, from the religious world in my case, are coming at it from different angles. I think in both cases, whether you're talking about the ethical or the economic spheres, we're looking at a bad deal coming out. I mean, I can't see a good deal coming in either case. And the reason being, throughout the negotiations, as far as we can tell, at any rate, it is the EU negotiators who have framed the debate. They've said and managed to push through the timing of different discussion, when they're going to talk about each thing, what's on offer, and then you talk about it. They've taken control of it. Now, that needn't have been the case, that they don't have any upper hand really, but the British government under Theresa May has negotiated as though they're asking for things rather than equals negotiating a deal. And I think with that being the case, we're going to end up being worse off than we were when we were members of the EU economically, socially and morally. And as you know, I think that the moral reasons for leaving the EU are the most important, but there are other benefits as well.
Well, yes. Now, interestingly, now Theresa May, the UK Prime Minister, welcomed the passing of the Brexit bill through Parliament as a crucial step, in her words, in delivering a smooth and orderly Brexit.
Yes. Hmm.
Well, I guess it depends on which planet you're on. But it doesn't seem to be the case. Now, the interesting thing here is that the whole nation seems to be exasperated at the fact that people within Theresa May's cabinet seem to be at loggerheads. It's interesting taking one of the points that you mentioned, which is if you're going to have a strong negotiation position, you need to have people who are aligned. If you've got people who are trying to work against you, you can never get the best deal. Now, I think that it doesn't matter whether it's in business or whether it's in politics, but I think in the interest of the United Kingdom right now, we're seeing too many Tory rebels really fighting against Theresa May. And the big challenge, in my opinion, this is just purely from the point of view of from a business perspective, there are a lot of here is a couple of examples. BMW, yes, that big German brand, and Airbus as well, yes. They're also warning that if the consequences of Brexit come to a point of uncertainty, then they're going to leave the United Kingdom and actually ship their manufacturer operations to further afield, places such as China, etc. Now, is that a threat or is that a real promise? But the point being is, what businesses are really looking for is clarity. We can debate whether we like a deal or dislike a deal, but at the moment we don't know what the deal is. And I can see it from a businessman's point of view that you have to make decisions. The period we're in right now is there's about 9 months to go before the March period when we're actually due to leave technically. So when we as the United Kingdom issued the and activated Article 50. We had 2 years. Well, come March 2019, we're due to come out. But I'm not entirely sure what we're going to come out with, other than, as you say, a very bad deal. My worry is that there could be some serious repercussions, because some companies may actually push the button quickly and say, look, I don't know what the deal is going to be. I'm going to have to make the decision. And they may make the decision for the wrong reasons, because we could actually end up with a good deal. But what is going on in Theresa May's cabinet? It just doesn't seem right to me. It seems worse for worse.
Yes, yes.
What do you think, clergyman?
Well, that's an interesting point in terms of the difficulties that we have. But the question is, what can you do about it? And the main thing that you highlighted there was we have the wrong people negotiating for leaving the EU, seeing as the main people negotiating want to stay in the EU. So it just seems ludicrous to me.
Theresa May being one of them.
Yes, and they don't seem to have a good grasp of the issues. They consistently misrepresent the position and seem to be bamboozled by the whole thing. But we see some politicians who are very clear thinkers and able to explain it. And there's two I have in mind, as I was mentioning to you off air. The obvious one is Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yes.
In that he obviously has a very good grasp, not only of the economic issues, but of the political process. He's a noted expert on Parliament itself. Mm. So he would be an obvious person to take on, maybe as PM, but certainly to take on a more structured and nuanced negotiation. But if you should also bring on board someone like Daniel Hannan, who's an MEP and has shown himself to have a really good grasp of what's needed if you're going to leave the EU. In fact, well before the referendum, he wrote a book on the on what political moves needed to be made, what laws needed to be changed in order to leave. So he's literally wrote the book on it, and he speaks French fluently and speaks Spanish like a native. I believe he grew up in a Spanish speaking country, so he has that sort of ability to communicate well with the Europeans, as he has some understanding of some of their ways of thinking through language. So I would say those two, and I'm sure there are others we could think who should be more involved and aren't.
Exactly. So is there a case then? Now let's take this then. From a business point of view as well as a political one, is there a strong case that actually we now need different negotiators? Yeah. Just change the game. Just bring different teams in place. So as you say, the right stakeholders who are going to uphold basically the result of the referendum. We chose to leave, and that's it. Going back is something that isn't practical. We can't, I know there are many people who'd like another referendum until they got the deal that they wanted, which is stay in the EU, but that's not going to happen. So we should really have the right stakeholders around the right table. And it does seem to me that Theresa May has probably missed a trick here, though probably what could have happened is if she got the right team in place, and remember, they don't have to necessarily be from the Conservative Party. You've already highlighted that there are people who are members of the EU and members of MEPs who could quite conceivably work to a particular programme. It seems to me that Theresa May is worse for wear, which made me leave a little thought, which is, those wearing Brexit hearts upon their sleeves look for hope when Great Britain leaves, yet cutting off your business ties can make recessions quickly rise. Below the belt comments and brash briefs makes leaders reach for their handkerchiefs. Despite the issues they try to skirt, they might slip and lose their shirt. With every stock and share that vests, the EU has become political pests. The final deal may seem off the cuff, so will Brexit negotiations be enough? Who will emerge as economic rebel rousers? Well, that depends on who wears the trousers. Mm.
Yes, I'm afraid it's the EU at the moment. Yes.
Well, at the moment, they are definitely wearing the trousers, and we are.
Yeah, it's such a strange situation that we're in, because we see consistently, certainly since the time of Tony Blair.
You're great.
A strange behaviour with relations with the EU, such that decisions are made that favour the EU and not Britain. And what's so strange is that it's almost as if the way the decisions have been taken, including the out-of-touch nature of calling a referendum when one didn't need to be taken, which resulted in the Brexit vote, it's almost as if there's some sort of control being exerted from the EU, maybe through blackmail, maybe through subtle bribery. Mm. I don't know. I have no evidence for anything like that other than the effect of it, because it simply doesn't make sense, to sign away the sovereignty of Britain into a political union, into a customs union, you know, which an old way of working with, you can trade with the whole of the world. Now, there's no point in having such a thing. It's an outmoded method, yes, which will only result long term in shrinking the economy, as it has done of the EU consistently, certainly over the past 10 years. It's been shrinking and shrinking, probably before that. I don't know the figures further back. But Britain doesn't need to be part of that. Shouldn't be part of it. Should be getting out. Even without the other issues, which, I think there are moral issues. The moral issues to do with laws being made in the EU which affect Britain, and it being fundamentally undemocratic, that these laws are meant in a non-Christian way, and Britain is a Christian nation, at least in name, and should be in practice, with the Queen being the head of the Church of England, and also with the control of the borders. If you don't control the borders, you aren't keeping the people safe who the government is responsible for keeping safe. So all those, that's the moral argument for leaving the EU. We need to take a change such that, this is something that may not happen. This is what should happen. It's one of those things you can say on a radio show, and it's not necessarily going to happen because of things like the real world getting in the way. But what we really need to do is have a political alignment that fits the people, or the actual people. The main decision being in and out of the EU. It cuts across all the parties. It's almost as if you need to have different political parties, almost like a pro-EU and a Leave party, rather than Labour and Conservative. You'd better reflect. If you did that, you would better reflect, I think, what people actually think and want better than the current division in all sorts of areas, not just in that. In fact, recent surveys, all taken since the last census, show that people favouring being in the EU versus people going out have a whole host of similarities. You know, you can say that, for example, Christians tend to favour leaving the EU. It was 60%, much higher than the 52%. Statistically, significantly higher.
That's a sizable sum.
Yeah, than the general population. Muslims voted to stay in. So, you know, you can see also along other lines. You can see that older people voted to leave and young people to stay in. It's that you can see that if you divided it, you would also people in that party would be similar to each other. I'm not saying that necessarily that's a good thing long term. I'm saying that if you did that, you would at least get some decisions made and some hard negotiating. If you had a party at its head who was the Leave EU party, you'd get some tough negotiating right now, and that's what we need. I see that's very unlikely to happen. So I have only one other recommendation. There's only one thing that would do it, and people are, you're not going to like it. I think we need an election.
Oh, my word.
I'm sorry, I've said it. I think we need an election. We need it now. Yeah.
Yes. Can we get enough of them? Well, that may be an option because, of course, obviously Theresa May's position in government is a little bit fragile. But I want to come back to the point of negotiations. Now, interestingly, the International Trade Secretary, Liam Fox, said nothing had really changed in terms of the negotiations, and the option of a no-deal Brexit had been left firmly on the table. He said that the government had to be able to hold out in its negotiations that the prospect of a no-deal. Yeah. Now, otherwise, the EU could get the upper hand. Now, I think this point about potentially walking away is an interesting one. Now, some analysts have different views as to whether that's a good thing or not. So, for example, some people will say that the community, that's the EU community, we have strongly built our economy around that, is actually shrinking. Whereas the global economy, i.e. outside of the EU, is actually growing. Is it now a time where, it's not that we don't want to do business with the EU, of course, but maybe long term that we should look at more international trade with the likes of China and America and many other regions that that are actually developing.
Yes.
And these are the sort of things that we need to be strong with, because at the moment, as we've already highlighted, I think that we could end up with a bit of a major compromise, we're not really going to get the best deal for us to grow long-term. And it's, remember, Mark and Pete's mantra, it's the long-term that matters.
Yeah. Now, this is a point. I think this is just an extraordinary way to behave. Look, it's an example of what I was saying earlier about who is in control of the debate. Look, the EU, under its rules, says we're not allowed to negotiate outside of the EU until we leave. That now, as a strong leader, you should say, yes, I know that's what you're saying, but we've decided to leave. And this is one of the areas where we've now decided that we're going to be breaking those rules deliberately, because we need to negotiate with other countries before we've left. It makes no sense to leave and then start negotiating. So we need to have a trade deal with the US, with China, already in place by the time we leave. And we're going to do it now. Just tell them, be upfront about it. We are going to negotiate now and make a deal, get it done. And then people can see that you're in place to be successful having no deal. Therefore, you're in a strong negotiating position and you'd probably get a good deal, which could well be a win-win deal for both sides.
Yeah.
That's the only way. So my two recommendations: one, have an election, get a different leader, or maybe the other way around, get a different leader and then have an election to give them a mandate. And then, simply leave. No, you don't do that. Carry on with the negotiation, but say, and we're simultaneously going to be negotiating trade deals with other countries.
Yes. Well, my view is this, and that is that from a business perspective, I don't think an election is really going to help. Maybe had it taken place 6 months ago, possibly. But we're getting very close now to March deadline. Yeah. And certainly, in my opinion, another general election could cause problems. But what I would say is this, is I do seriously believe that in the next month to 2 months, that there can't be any real signs of progress of a solid deal, something that certainly both parties, that's the EU leadership as well as the UK leadership, can come back and show both EU citizens and UK citizens in a clear program for this transition for when we leave, then to me, I think that the whole negotiation teams needs to change. Because the biggest concern that I have is that businesses are getting very nervous now. It is definitely having impact on business. There's no question. Deals are being delayed. People are uncertain. And what people want is certainty. I just want to sort of conclude this point, which is, interestingly, the shadow Brexit secretary is Sir Keir Starmer. Now, he is from the Labour Party. Now, he has said that ministers needed to listen to the concerns of businesses and get a grip, his words, on the Brexit negotiations. Perfectly valid. He continued to say that the government's reckless decision to keep a no deal on the table and to rule out a customs union or a strong single market deal after Brexit is putting jobs in the economy at risk. Well, valid points. At the end of the day, my argument is, what is the deal? And the deal is the thing that matters. So, what do you think, listeners? I mean, are you exasperated by this whole issue of Brexit and what it really means to you, to your business, to the whole economy, to us as citizens? Well, why not? Let us know your thoughts. Log on to markandpete.com and look at the comments page. Fill it out. Let us know your thoughts. In fact, even listen to some of the podcasts. We touch on this and many other subjects. Well, thanks for listening to the show. And join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.